Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 19, if you'll turn there, please. By the way, that was a good parade last year. That was fantastic. You want to be a part of it. It's really, really, really went well, didn't it, Carl? Yeah, it's good times.
Good t-shirts.
Yeah, it was. And the more of us there is, the more fun there is. So, and the people on the street were very happy to, as I sense, they were very happy to have us. We had live music, and that kind of brought something to it too. So anyway, should be good. Genesis chapter 1. I want to speak today above all things as the struggle, the battle that goes on behind the scenes, and how our responsibility is to stand firm, knowing that struggles come and battles come and attacks come and different things come our way, and we need to know how to stand in the gap and to raise our voices and to proclaim the Lord, the name of the Lord. And that's what we want to talk about here this morning. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 19. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you. Let me read it again. So good. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you. Pray with me. Jesus, we just claim the power of the blood of Christ over us here today in this sermon. And we pray, Lord, you'd speak to us. Thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that we'll go out of here with some 30-fold, some 60-fold, even some 100-fold on this thy word in Jesus' name. Amen. I think in every battle, there are critical spots. There are, sometimes I'll have a sense of really being, without sounding weird or strange or odd, I found myself under attack. Because that's what as I began to analyze it, that's what it turned out to be. It was like an attack, a discouragement, and kind of, you know, spiritually kind of, you ever have been that? You ever gone to church and felt that? Ever been the pastor and felt that? It's part of the journey. It's part of our growth in Christ. But it seems that we take turns kind of coming under it. And so our job is to learn how to recognize battles and how to stand against forces that seek to overwhelm us and to defeat us. That's where we're kind of going here today. And so our job is to get near and stay near to our divine chief and commander. Because I must stay close to him, especially when the battle rages and there might be an attack against your marriage. Could be an attack against the church. Could be an attack against leadership. Can be an attack against a lot of things. And someone else, perhaps a person who's not a Christian, wouldn't have a clue what we're talking about in some ways. But it's real, and it happens. And our job is to be vigilant and to put on the whole armor of God, stand firm. And we wait until the storm blows over. We don't make major changes or anything. We just stand knowing that it's just an attack. I can remember one time, it's odd, I think I've mentioned this to some of these ladies here, but years and years ago, I was invited to come to some kind of a ladies planning meeting. I can't even remember what it was now, but I came, and at the end of the meeting, I said to these ladies, there's only three or four of them, I said, would you mind just praying for me? I just feel kind of heavy and just discouraged. And I sensed it since I came to this meeting. And would you just pray for me? Oh, because that's all they needed. You know, just chomp. And they're praying up a storm. You know, the minute they prayed, it was just like that. It lifted just like that. I can't even make it go fast. How fast? Chomp. Oh, I said, thank you. I'll go now. I said, you don't need to pray. Whatever that was aligned against me, it lifted and was broken over me. And it's like this verse. The attack will come, but it will not prevail. and especially when we know what we're doing in that realm. And so the prince of this world is not Jesus. You know that, right? The prince of this world, he doesn't easily cede his territory to the people of God. Not ever. It doesn't easily. If somebody comes to know the Lord, if something is, we're planning something and we're, you know, it's kind of sensitive and affects people's lives, and he hears about it, he will come to destroy that work, that part of it. And I've been conscious of that, of course, for many, many years. But I just know that anything that we give to the Lord Jesus, now he comes to take that back from us, to fight against us, to discourage us so that we forget about it. And we just kind of say, oh, well, what was I thinking? I don't need to worry about that. And the next thing, it just seems kind of ridiculous and silly. Not knowing that that was the point of the prince of this world, he does not let go of anything easily. And I just can't stress that enough. See, the evil one, that's who he is, and he is very, very evil. The evil one desires to claim territory from Jesus by attacking the messenger, by attacking the message, and all who give ear to that message. That's part of the struggle. And how over the years, I'm thinking as I was preparing this, down from the day I gave my heart to Jesus, and I didn't know much about this stuff then, but from that point on, I've looked back and seen where battles have come, where attacks against myself, attacks against Val, just discouragements about, and we love each other and care for each other. And but we've felt the hot breath of the enemy causing us to feel defeated and discouraged and overwhelmed, at least for that moment. And knowing that we must pray, we must band together and pray. So I wrote here, how I've battled with the evil one, maybe a better word would be, with the defeated one. He is the defeated one, and be sure to put that language in. Right, he is the defeat, and we remind him and his hordes, we remind them that they are the defeated ones. That's very true. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18, the reason the Son of God appeared. Now, isn't that, why did he appear? What was that about? The reason the Son of God appeared, I presume he's saying besides the work of redemption, as we celebrated here this morning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. So Jesus has come to set up his kingdom and to rule over the earth, one person by another, where people are being added to the kingdom. That's what Jesus has come to do, and to destroy the works of the evil one. So when we see that, I say, well, I'm a part of that, yes. And that's why there are... The more that we yield to the Lord here at our church, the more we can expect forces to come and to try and discourage us. If you can do something that doesn't attract the attention of the devil, you're not doing anything. Because the minute something is important, that attack will come. So we lose interest. So we just... You know, we feel tired or we're weary or something. It's kind of an odd thing in many ways. But the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And if that's what we're about, then we can expect the same thing. There, as a discovery is this, that deliverance from the power of the evil one, it comes through definite resistance on the ground of the cross. There are many people... have never learned how to do any spiritual warfare, that they get discouraged almost instantly. And they're, you know, the voices will come and tell them that they're no good and what's the point. They're not, no one ever wants them and no one loves them and God doesn't love them. And they don't battle back. They don't even think of battling back. They say, well, that's just how it is. I guess I'm just a loser. I guess I'm just this way. And instead of rising up and saying, "Oh no, 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 no! That's not what this is." You're, and we, that power is ours. It's ours to be used by the Lord for His holy purposes. But there must be definite resistance on, I call it, on the ground of the cross. That's, you just can't sit still and nothing would happen. Say, well, I'll just, we have a little understanding here. He leaves me alone and I leave him alone. That's, don't want anything to do with the devil. Well, nobody does. But as Bible-believing believers, it's part of this. It's part of it. It's part of what comes with it. We are in a struggle. We are in a battle of gigantic proportions. I mean, it's the saints of the Lord who believe in prayer, who stand, you know, over the things of the Lord and declare that this is the Lord's. And then we expect the enemy to come and to discourage us if he could. And of course, many are not prepared, so they get overwhelmed very quickly. But the definite resistance, that's our job. That's what we stand against them. We see something that we say, that shouldn't be that way. And we go to prayer. And it's a very definite thing on the ground of the cross. Again, definite resistance on the ground of the cross. So what do? We submit ourselves, as the scripture tells us. We submit ourselves, therefore, to God, that we are to resist the devil and he will flee from us. Resist the devil and he will flee from us. And I believe that. But here's the thing. We must be resisting him. That's part and parcel. And I need to, when I sense my wife under oppression and discouraged, and there's no real reason for it, right, just life, then I know that I have to stand against the enemy on her behalf. And that's my job. That's my job, is to protect her in prayer. And if something attacks her, then I need to stand over her and pray and ask God to break whatever that discouragement, whatever that thing is going on, that would be broken. And I'm not just saying, please. No, and in Jesus' name, now you go. And I'm sure Val could tell many, many times where she'd felt, as I have felt her prayers, that she felt my prayers for her as we put a covering over her in prayer. And that's it makes sense, doesn't it? That the enemy, for example, attacks the leaders. Doesn't that make sense? That's, of course, it is. Get the leaders all discouraged. And get the, I could go on and on and on about that, but we claim deliverance on the ground of our Redeemer and the victory on the cross. It's powerful. Our Lord Himself resisted the devil. It's interesting, as I was going through these scriptures, the Lord Himself resisted the devil vocally. Get thee behind me, Satan. Spoke verbally to him. And so I, in humble dependence on the Lord, can do the same thing. Let me put a little pause in here. You often hear kind of smart alecky remarks about the devil and about the demon world. And, well, we're going to give the devil a black eye. We're going to take the city. And you have no idea. That's just silly talk. When the battle rages, there's no room. You're not giving anybody a black eye. You're saying, Lord, we just cover ourselves. The blood of Jesus, the power of the cross, the authority of the Lord. And with fear and trepidation, we put our armor on. And we go off to do battle, to do warfare. But there's no sense of what we're going to do. That more crazy things have happened over my lifetime. People that I know and people who've got into things. And it was just pride and arrogance. There's no room for that, because that's the devil's world. He knows all about pride and arrogance. So you and I, in humble dependence on the Lord, can do the same thing. Just as, get thee behind me, Satan, we are able to say that. Only on the authority of Scripture, only on the authority of the cross, can I say, get thee behind me. And I have the authority, because of the cross of the Lord, I have the authority to do as you do. And so, We come against, there's a good phrase, we come against. Now, this week, next week, it may not be tomorrow, it may not be for a while, but you'll have a situation where you'll be able, and you'll find yourself saying, Lord, I come against the darkness that's affecting my kids. Lord, I come against the forces on our public school. Lord, we come against. You see, we're coming against. We're resisting. The prayers of resistance are very crucial. They're very vital to all of it that's going on in the spirit realm. And so there's the promises of Scripture as weapons. And I know this to be true, that one has to learn gradually how to use these newfound weapons of resistance. They don't just come to us. We learn. We watch other people pray. We've seen the authority. I've been in enough prayer meetings to see ordinary kind of people. I mean, these are not sophisticated people, just ordinary people. And we'll go to prayer, and the authority that I can sense coming from them, I say, wow, it's just, they have no doubt who won on Calvary's cross. There's no doubt about that. And I thank the Lord for the people in our church who know how to pray and how to use the promises of Scripture, because that's our greatest authority, of course. And so we have to learn how to use these weapons, and our victory is a spiritual one. We may not see anything, but we know it's been settled. I remember praying for someone who there was just like chaos everywhere. And we've discerned a few things that could possibly be. But I remember as we prayed, we just knelt around that person, and it was like chink, 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 chink. So when we prayed, it was like there was a protection. I could feel it. I could feel this authority that this person was defeated and down and just, everything was going wrong, everything. And then when we knelt and we put our hands on that person, gathered around them, it was like this huge authority just coming, and we were aware of it. You know, those things that you never forget, things like that. That it was just like it was just protection, all kinds of protection. And as we just knelt down here, I thought it was so, at the time it was so interesting because here anybody walking by wouldn't have felt, but everyone else knew. It's amazing, deep, mysterious things going on in that prayer meeting. And as we prayed and just yielded our weakness to the Lord, we have nothing to offer. Lord, only by your blood we come against the evil one. Only by your authority. We have none of our own. We simply come in the authority of the one who brought victory on the cross. And as we prayed that there would be things broken off of that marriage and broken off of these lives, and the discouragement and the despair and the suicidal feelings. And we prayed, you know, before that meeting was over, there was this great triumph. You knew that whatever else might happen, that'll happen, but there was victory won. And I know what was happening there, but even more so, the enemy knew. So here are those saints falling on their knees and praying prayers of resistance. The things that keep, like what keeps people from getting saved here on the North Shore? Right? What happens? We don't know. But so we pray against any strongholds over our city, or over our church, or anywhere that it might be. And that's our job. The flaming darts of the evil one, they come all the time. I remember, I picture it, you know, when somebody comes to you, how are you? I'm not doing very well. I'm just overwhelmed these days, and my so-and-so is sick, and this is happening, and that's happening. And we find ourselves nodding, and here we spend the first little while pulling out, you know, metaphorically, pulling out the arrows of despair, of lies, of truths and half-truths, and we're pulling them out because they just come under severe attack, a good person, a solid person. But you realize that as we did that, freedom comes to that individual. And I thought, boy, if I want to know anybody, I want to know who knows how to pray. Right? That's what we must learn and learn well, how to pray. And especially prayers of resistance. That is, as the enemy comes, we come in the other way. And so our church, and I have a feeling that we're probably not focusing in prayer as much as we should. I thank the Lord for the prayer that is being offered. But as I'm just conscious of some of these things, that it's the flaming darts happen all the time. And sometimes we think that a program, nothing wrong with programs, we all believe in programs, nothing wrong with them in themselves. We find out that our strength is in our program, or we've got this small groups going, or we've got this seminar on. They're all good. Those are okay, but as long as does prayer define us? Because that needs to be the strongest part of our church, is that we've gone to prayer. We have called on the power of the Lord. And Ephesians 6:16, he said, extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you want to stir things up, just start claiming the Lord's victory that he has done on the cross and watch what will happen. People are kind of funny. Say, it's kind of funny. My whole day, I got a flat tire in the morning. I've had a fight with my wife at noon hour. I had this happen and that happened. Man alive, what in the world's going on? I'm just smiling at them and saying, oh, it's Monday, isn't it? Yeah, we had a great day of victory at the church, right? We were praising the Lord and somebody gets saved and somebody's going to get baptized and we think, oh, it's wonderful. And Monday comes, grinds to a halt. I don't think we're taking the city today, are we? No, I don't think so. It was battle time. I find sometimes the battle will come before the event, you know, like people getting baptized. Leading up to it, they'll phone up and say, I'm not going to get baptized. I say, why not? Oh, just feel so unworthy. Just can't, I don't think I can go through with that. Or it's at the other end of it. Pastor, I just want you to know, I think I've lost my salvation. I said, you lost your salvation? When did that happen? Well, since the baptism. Oh, what was happening there? Oh, I don't know. But I was fine till then. I said, no, don't worry about it. I said, just go and throw a little sand in the serpent's mouth. I said, don't you get it? You caused a major problem in hell and in heaven. I mean, heaven is where it was victory was recorded. I said, do you think, you think back just to this baptism we had of late, Easter Sunday. 14 people took a stand and said, I want to follow Jesus the rest of my life. 14 people. What do you think the enemy felt about that? He's coming to get that, to discourage that. If that thing caught on where there's four baptisms and 14 baptisms and 24 baptisms, it's on the charts of hell. That is too close for comfort. So he'll have to discourage the leadership and discourage the saints until we haven't got any prayer power at all because we're just so defeated. We're so, so-and-so is fighting, so-and-so is going to leave the church, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And it works quite sufficiently that we're all kind of discouraged and nobody is praying strong prayers. All these endlessly flaming darts. But as you learn what to do, see, this is the good news of this. These weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not worldly, but they're of God. He has not left us alone. You know, where we're subject to everything that's coming down the road. No, not at all. He gives us the power of prayer, of yielding to the Lord, of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that is, but I think maybe one of the most strongest things is the place, I've called this the place of the victorious shout. The place of the victorious shout. We shout our resistance to the evil one. That's why when we say, shout to the Lord, you know that song, shout to, well, there's something about a shout that has power. I don't even know if I can explain it to you, because I'm not sure I understand it fully, but I know this. Many times I felt, come on, let's shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord. Why do we have to do that? What's the sense of that? I don't know. But I know that if we're having a meeting here and it's kind of going kind of like this, our job, if we just say, come on, lift your hands, lift your voice. Let's bless his name. Let's bless his name. And we lift our voices and the place shakes with the power of the redeemed. That meeting will change. That meeting will change. It will be a different atmosphere because we understand our resistance to the enemy and all his plans and all his schemes against us. And we say, listen, there's just a necessity here to get the atmosphere needs to go to another level. And we begin to praise the Lord, I'm telling you, with a loud voice, not because I'm a noisy guy anyway. The quietest among us must raise our voice in resistance. And why we sing songs that are jubilant songs. They're especially to get a meeting going because the place of room is full of demonic things. And when we begin to lift our voice and to bless his name, and maybe our knees are shaking, but our hearts aren't shaking because we know who has won the victory and we're going to proclaim it. And that's why sometimes we sing songs that we should have not, that's not the best song. They didn't have the shout of victory. We needed to register it. Let's register in heaven and register in hell what is going on here. And we say, Jesus has defeated you. Please, sister, you're going to say something here. Oh, hell, glory. Okay, glory, yeah. That's a good word. That's another good word. So, as we shout our resistance, he is on the run. And we can hardly believe it. I was thinking at the grace of at the grave of Lazarus. And Jesus shouted. I wonder why he shouted, but he did. He shouted. There was a loud shout from the cross as he records that victory for us. And so we claim deliverance, repeating scripture out loud. I find there's something, open your mouth. Let make sure the devil has heard you. That's our responsibility, to make sure we register our victory. And so I find if I'm driving in my car, I'm driving down the road and I feel kind of, oh boy. You know, I don't even can't describe it, but you know what that's like. Just feel, if you asked me to go to the hospital right now and then go pray for somebody, I would do it, but, well, go into the church, go into the hospital and how are you? Good, I'm glad you're feeling better. I feel really under it. You seem discouraged. You seem discouraged. Yeah, I am feeling discouraged because I am discouraged. And that has to change. And so many times I said, on my way, just I'm using this as an illustration, to the hospital to visit somebody because they've asked if I'd come. When I said, I've got nothing to offer here today. So I just found myself, I turned the radio off. That radio has to go off. And then I just, in the time that I had to be able to lift up my heart and to bless his name, Lord, I thank you and praise you. I glorify you, King of kings and Lord of lords, mighty God, Prince of peace. I thank you, God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And Lord, as I come here to this place today, I thank you for your victory, that you are the healer, that you're going to touch this person. You know, by the time I get there, I'm ready to go. Right, I'm ready to go. I'm just nobody. We're like the rest of us here. There's nothing about us, but we have registered. And in that car, I had already registered the shout of victory, and the shout that goes is the resistance. We shout our resistance when we sing our songs. We sang songs this morning. Well, we sing them. We'll sing them again in a few minutes. As we sing those songs, there must be something registering. We bless you, Lord. And we come against the evil one, the one who would seek to destroy us. And we come against him because we've been given that authority. Wow, how wonderful. Repeating scripture out loud, one of our major things. And yet so many, many Christians don't understand that at all. And they register a little, thank you, help me, Jesus. We don't want anything darker up here. You know, no. Register it as a major resistance. Watch what will happen. Even I found that if a meeting is very slow, if we will just say, listen, we're just going to sing that again. We're going to lift up our voices and our hands, and we're just going to, and that whole atmosphere changes. I'm not kidding anybody. It changes. Something happens. Something in the spirit realm happens. Because we believe it. Now, maybe not everybody in the building is going to believe, but there's enough of us here. See, nothing cuts like the word of the living God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Wow, Hebrews 4, 12. Again, this living word that comes to us from Scripture, and it's ours to use. We thank the Lord for that. I think that the aim of satanic power, if there was a purpose to it, I think the aim of satanic power is to cut off communication with God so you don't feel in tune. You feel out of sorts. And this is a kind of a time when we're aware of that the enemy is trying to cut me off from God, where I feel disjointed, I feel unworthy. Who am I to go and pray for anybody? Give your head a shake, Owen. You're nobody. You're nothing. Yeah, probably true. Right? Have you ever had some experiences like that? What's the point? That I feel distant from God, and I feel God doesn't. He doesn't approve of me. Doesn't he? No, he doesn't. He wants to discourage me if he can do anything. And no one else who understands, you can't, it's few between people who know and people who don't know. It just doesn't happen that often. So the enemy, what does he do? He brings a sense of defeat. And he tries to, at least in my life anyway, he tries to cover the soul with a heaviness. The heaviness can be in the service. The heaviness can be in my house. The heaviness can be, you know, I'm just doing normal things. The heaviness can be upon my wife as she's working away, and all of a sudden she feels kind of oppressed, and she doesn't know what's going on, and I don't know what's going on. What is that? We love the Lord. It's the spiritual battle. That's what it is. And so he brings a sense of defeat and tries to cover our souls with this heaviness. And some days, of course, we feel spiritually strong. Isn't it great? That's great to have us say, wow, I just had a great day, wonderful day. And that was, we record a victory. And so some days we feel spiritually strong, and we feel able to take our stand against the forces. At other times, we feel lethargic and weak and overwhelmed and overpowered. And we've all had a day of defeat. My point is, they don't mean anything necessarily. It's just that the enemy is breathing hot air on you and wanting you to get distracted, me to get distracted. But we've all felt under attack. And my point is this, is that that's going to be forever. But we must learn through the Word of God and through the Scriptures that we use, the authoritative Scriptures that we use to come against the enemy. So I may feel like nothing. I may feel unworthy, just completely out of it. But that doesn't mean that's true. Those are lies of the enemy. So Jesus, I break every lie of the enemy. I thank you that in you I live and move and have my being. And you begin to proclaim it. You begin to shout the victory. And it's very, very powerful when we've felt ourselves under attack. And of course, now you know how you can avoid all of this if you want to. Don't do anything. Just don't do anything. I know this one fellow, and he said that he wanted me to pray because the devil was after him. I said, well, not telling you, after you told me what your lifestyle is about, I said, I don't think the devil's after you. Why would he be? What trouble have you caused him? He said, you've been drunk, you've been carousing, you've been fooling around, and now the devil's chasing you. I don't think so. You see, it's when you touch the important parts. When I say to Jesus, if I drop to my knees and say, Lord, I want my life to count for you. I want holy hands, holy heart. I give all of me to you. Now, what's going to happen? The enemy's going to try and get me not to talk like that. That's just how it works. But if I'm living loosely and I'm just living loosely, that person you don't have to worry, because the devil, you're no threat. What I'm suggesting is that it's a desirous thing to be a threat. To be a threat, and I think by being obedient, you know, by claiming the word, by putting on the armor, all of these things. And we feel, okay, some days we feel great, some days we feel, you can't go on the feelings, they just are. But I've woken up kind of depressed. I know Val's done that, had that, where she just woke up, just felt, pfft. And sometimes she won't recognize it, and sometimes I don't recognize it in me, that what that is. Until you start praying together and just say, what, let's pray about this. See, why in your own home would you wake up oppressed? Could it be that today is the day we need to pray extra prayers, strong prayers? So I want to talk for a few minutes about wining and dining in Vienna with Martin Luther. This is a direct statement that he said. He said, when battling the enemy and you begin to wear out from the struggle, this is what he suggests. Now, you got to love this man. You need to go to Vienna and wine and dine and dance. And if that doesn't work, to go and throw manure on the field. You may say, what in the world? That's his famous line. He understood spiritual warfare. See, what happened, as he couldn't... He was just worn out from the arrows. Just arrows coming. So what does he do? He said, go to Vienna. In other words, don't let the enemy push you into where you're discouraged and that. Just go and dance. Go and have a glass of wine. Just do something. Don't worry about it. Just wine and dine and dance and have a good time. And if that doesn't work, then do some hard work. Just don't be caught down where you're overwhelmed because you've been praying. And I have some many times come from a prayer meeting where I thought, boy, I'm worn right out here. This is real. It's a tax, right? It wears you out. And so it's good to do something pardon me if I don't quite say this right, do something non-spiritual. Better to go and, go for a walk, go for a hike. Go do something. Get away from that where the enemy's kind of, he's trying to wear you out is what he's trying to do. And just get away from that and go do something that's kind of fun and not wrong, but just something that's fun. And you'll come back and you'll be ready for phase two. I remember at the Bible school at Esten years ago, I always dreaded the last part of the prayer meeting. We'd have these all day prayer meeting from 9 in the morning until probably supper time. And I remember feeling hard to describe it, but the minute we'd go do something fun, it would be a different feeling altogether. It would just come, and those are a very necessary part of the whole battle. So, we sing praises to God. These are just kind of tactics. We sing praises to God for the victory won among the armies of heaven. And when we feel the hot breath of the defeated one, we get up and we sing a song or we shout, and we shout the determined note of defiance against the enemy. We will overcome because he has overcome. Right? This is this battle that we'll face. We'll face it today, tomorrow, the next day. All God's people who are serious about the kingdom of God will have days like this, moments like this. And as I called it, the critical conflict. This is critical, and it's important that we know how to, again, the Word of God, the song of the Lord, and the possibilities of shouting. At about 1 o'clock in the morning last night, I thought of that film about the war room. Remember that? That was a good film, and we actually should have had it here. That would have been really. Remember, she goes out, she sees what the enemy has been doing, and she's walking out of that house, and you know there's going to be a battle. And you know, remember that? Remember how good that was? And she begins to speak to the devil. That was a very powerful film. That part of it, especially, was very, very powerful. And she's out in the drive lot, and I thought, can you imagine the neighbors? That was a great, it was a well-done film. The neighbors, what they would have said, because she is now, she's speaking loudly. You will not have my husband. You will not. That's the kind of prayers that I'm advocating here today. That there would be strong prayers coming from you. And that we would use that, the shout of victory, and see what the Lord would do. I said to a number of people that I think the Lord is preparing us for some things. But it's very imperative that we pray and call things as they are, I mean, in the way Jesus wants us to. So it's very powerful. But just bow your heart with me before we share it together. Lord, give us any insights that we need to be thinking about and praying about and listening to your voice about. Thank you for Calvary's victory. Amen. What have you found? What have you found in your journey? Yes. Praying for protection. And every morning that's happened to me. So when I came in here today, it was like a confirmation of how important it is. Yeah. For us every once in a while, just fall on our knees and cry out to God and for protection.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, for protection. That's it, yeah.
You know, maybe in a few minutes we could just have a couple of the ladies just go and pray for us. Oh, yeah, I've talked to you before, I think, one other time.
Yeah.
But we'll have somebody pray with you. That we should.
You,
yeah. No. Glad to pray for you.
Something. I believe in God. I believe He's there. I believe He's all powerful, but I feel away from Him.
You've been discouraged. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's good. I'm glad you. Yeah, I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad we'll be glad to pray with you in just a few minutes. Okay, no, that's good. Well, we like you too. Mutual admiration club here.
Yeah.
Somebody else, you just say one of the you can preface one of the things that's helped me is what? Yeah, Richard, remember you and I over your phone, we were praying that very same thing, that it would be a good report. Yeah, we don't know what intentions the enemy could have wanted for that, but praise God for today. And he's watching soccer now. Is that what you heard somebody say? Beautiful. That's good therapy. That's good. That's Vienna. Right, that's Vienna and dancing, and I better stop now. Yes. Oh, good. Thanks, Christian. Somebody else. Doesn't have to be profound, just something really simple. Please. Yes. Well, there can be any. I remember one morning just singing that. Oh, I mean, this song's 150 years old, but in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Well, you haven't sang that for 30 years, and I haven't either. But the power of it is still there. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. That's the essence of it. Somebody else. John. But maybe that's the prerequisite work you do of yielding it all to Him. Lord, I just surrender it all. Yeah. Good word, John. Anybody else? I always find these really helpful and encouraging.
I find that I play defense far too much. I wait way too long.
Yeah.
People have got that hold. He's told me things that I don't need to hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then I can
Yeah, that would have been a good title. Tired of playing defense. Thank you. One more. Maybe we did it. Maybe we shared it. Well, in His awesome name we go. God bless you. See you on the patio. Thank you for being here this morning.